Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Those who benefited most from our way of life can afford to give back a little bit more. We begrudge those who've done well. The wealthier have borne a little more. Everybody pays. The most fortunate among us can afford to pay a little more. I don't need another tax cut. The wealthier are paying higher taxes. A little bit more. A little more. Pay a little more. Higher taxes. More. 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 Thank you. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
I'm especially proud that this year the forum is recognizing the contributions of the millions of American Muslims who do so much to make our country strong. As President Obama said in Cairo, Islam has always been a part of American history. And every day, American Muslims are helping to write our story.
I found my thrill.
It's the Savage Nation. Eat the rich. Screw the worker. Attack those who have succeeded. Now, Biden fell asleep during the imposter speech. Who can blame Biden, really, when you think about it? We've heard it all before. Barry's speech was a repeat of what you've heard in colleges for the last 30 years. Tax the evil, lucky rich. Punish those who succeed. It's Bush's fault. Republicans want to starve old people, the disabled, and kids. Oh, and by the way, they also want to kill women with their plan. Let me ask you a question. Is $250,000 a year rich? I'll take your calls on that. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let me begin by saying I will admit that I am biased. By definition, I am one of America's rich. But it's not, as Barry says, a result of fortune. I'm not one of the fortunate rich. In fact, I had to overcome 30 years of social engineering by academic Marxists like Obama to achieve my income and my status in life. No, I'm not fortunate. I just have true grit, and I wouldn't give up no matter what these rats did to me, no matter what social engineers did to me, no matter how many impediments they threw in the way of Michael Savage. Michael Savage, man-child in the promised land. I had a grandfather who emigrated to America, I don't know when, 1917, so just around after the Russian Revolution. He fled the Reds. He worked his heart out and died at 47. My father worked his heart out and died at 57. And I was supposed to achieve more than they did, and I did, but not right off the bat. I got several higher degrees, but the doors were closed to white males. They wanted men like Obama. They wanted women like Sotomayor. They wanted illegal immigrants in the universities, and of course, that's why the universities have turned into the cesspools that they are today. And after 30 years of fighting them, I fought my way into the ring in which I now sit, and now they want to tax me even more. So again, I say I admit I'm biased, but not because I was fortunate. No one gave it to me. I didn't inherit anything. In fact, I inherited nothing. I had to overcome 30 years of social engineering by academic Marxists like Obama to get where I am. So let's look at taxing the rich. The finest discussion of this was by Walter Williams in Investor's Business Daily. And here's what he says. He said, I've often said that I wish there was some humane way to get rid of the rich. If you asked why, I'd answer that getting rid of the rich would save us from distraction by leftist hustlers promoting the politics of envy. Not having the rich to fret over might enable us to better focus our energies on what's in the best interest of the 99.9% of the rest of us. Let's look at some facts about the rich laid out by Bill Whittle, citing statistics on his Real Clear Politics video, Eat the Rich. This year, Congress will spend $3.7 trillion. That turns out to be about $10 billion per day. Can we prey upon the rich to cough up the money? According to IRS statistics, roughly 2% of U.S. households have an income of $250,000 and above. By the way, $250,000 per year hardly qualifies one as being rich. Let me throw in my own words here. It's the earnings of about two teachers, incidentally. Two teachers make about $250,000 a year in the average American city, according to my analysis. That's with their benefits, by the way, so don't play games with me. Bennies are about 40% more than what they earn. All told, households earning $250,000 and above account for 25%, or nearly $2 trillion of the nearly $8 trillion of total household income. So let's see what happens if we tax the rich. If Congress imposed a 100% tax, taking away all earnings above 250 grand a year, it would yield a sum of $1.4 trillion. That would keep the government running for 141 days. But there's a problem, because there are 224 more days left in the year. How about corporate profits to fill the gap? Fortune 500 companies earn nearly $400 billion in profits. Since leftist scum think profits are little less than theft and greed, Congress might confiscate these ill-gotten gains so that they can be returned to their rightful owners, who would be the scum of the earth. Taking corporate profits would keep the government running for another 40 days. But that, along with confiscating all income above $250,000, would only get us to the end of June. Congress must search elsewhere. According to the Forbes 400, America has 400 billionaires with a combined net worth of $1.3 trillion. Well, Congress could confiscate their stocks and their bonds and force them to sell their businesses, yachts, airplanes, mansions, and jewelry. You see, the problem is that after fleecing the rich of their income and net worth and the Fortune 500 corporations of all their profits, it would only get us to mid-August. The fact of the matter is, there are not enough rich people to come anywhere close to satisfying Obama's voracious spending appetite. He's going to have to go after the non-rich. But let's stick with the rich and ask a few questions. Okay? Politicians, news media people, and leftists in general entertain what economists call a zero elasticity view of the world. That's just fancy economic jargon for a view that government can impose a tax and people will behave after the tax just as they behave before the tax, and the only change is more government revenue. That's a total falsehood, but we're not going to go into it. So as I've just shown through Walter Williams' article and my interjections, taxing the rich is not the answer. Cutting spending is the answer. But an academic Marxist like Obama knows only what he learned at the foot of the communists in Hawaii, the communists at Occidental, the communists at Columbia, and the communists in Chicago. I'll turn it over to you in a moment. But first, I've got to turn it over to the president himself. You've got to listen to some of this because it's so grating that I want to grate you with this man. Listen to clip 7.
We recognize that no matter how responsibly we live our lives, hard times or bad luck, a crippling illness or a layoff may strike any one of us. There, but for the grace of God, go I.
Oh, come on.
And so we contribute to programs like Medicare and Social Security, which guarantee us health care and a measure of basic income after a lifetime of hard work.
Hey, hold, stop for a minute. That's a lie. There are people who haven't worked a day of their lives who are cashing in on all of these benefits. So stop lying. Stop the lie. I know bums in North Beach, San Francisco, who never worked a day in their life, so-called writers, who collect SSDI checks, crazy checks. They act like they're nuts and they get a check every month, you liar. I'm sick of this garbage. How many illegal aliens are collecting SSDI checks or SSI checks or disability checks? It's lies, all of it. Absolute lies. Did you know that 2/3 of our budget is spent on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and National Security? Unemployment insurance, student loans, veterans benefits, and tax credits take another 20%. Most of our budget is spent on Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And I would not lump National Security in with Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Not at all. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Much of the last century, our nation found a way to afford these investments and priorities with the taxes paid by its citizens. As a country that values fairness, wealthier individuals have traditionally borne a greater share of this burden than the middle class or those less fortunate. Everybody pays, but the wealthier have borne a little more. This is not because we begrudge those who've done well.
Sure,
we rightly celebrate.
You've always
success.
Hated the rich. You were bred to hate the rich on your mother's lap. You were bred to tax the evil lucky rich, punish those who succeed. You were trained to hate the rich and punish those who succeed. You were trained to lie and say Republicans want to starve old people, want to hurt the disabled and kids, and also kill women with their plan. That's all you were trained to do. That is why you are a man without a country. You have a diminishing audience, Barack Obama. Your audience is diminishing by the day, by the minute, by the second. You've lost the Hispanic vote because you lied to them. And now, of course, the middle class might be awakening to the fact that you're targeting them, because $250,000 is really middle class. That's all it really is. And let's break it down of what this really means without getting hysterical in dollars and cents. Right now, the federal income tax level is 35%. Roughly, I'm saying 35.1, I think. And he wants to return it back to 39%. So you say that's only another 4%. Only another 4%? If you add state taxes to the federal taxes, people are paying approximately 50% of their income. 50 cents out of every dollar goes to taxation. That's not including sales tax, this tax, that tax, gas tax. We're talking about straight out income taxes are about, in California, it's over 10%. The state of California gouges and steals 10% from people who make over a certain amount of money. So 35 federal, which will be 39, plus 11% for the richest, 50% taxation by the communist left. Jerry Brown and Barack Obama are singing from the same Marxist playbook. And that's why we have a democracy. You cannot continue to steal from those who earn, those who provide the jobs. And then after you steal from them, you think they're going to still have the incentive to start that new business, Barry? It's something you wouldn't understand. You and Michelle never started a business. You never ran a Kool-Aid stand. You probably never had to sell lemonade as a child. You probably never had to clean bronzes in a dirty basement. You probably never worked till midnight cleaning dishes as I did in a luncheonette. Nothing. It was all given to you. You were taught to work that system, and you sailed right through it. So you don't know what it's like to scrimp and save and invest that money in a business. You never had a business. You don't know what a business is. It's an alien thing to you. You were bred in your home and in your life to hate people who run businesses, to assume everyone who has a business is a crook. Every man or woman who has a business is a thief, and they should have their property appropriated, just like your friend Chavez, just like your other friend in Bolivia. You're no different than any other hardcore doctrinaire communist the world has ever seen. You are this speech, I became livid. I became so enraged, I started to fume and spit because I didn't believe a word this man said. He looked like Pinocchio to me, only instead of his nose growing longer, his ears got larger. New York, WOR Lorraine, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I just want to let you know I am one of those very wealthy people that he considers he needs to tax more. And when you look at what we pay in federal, state, local, and property taxes, Social Security, Social Security Disability Insurance, unemployment insurance, if you look at my check, you want to just vomit. In addition, I am well aware of people that are on Medicaid and on temporary aid to needy families or welfare. We give them different names to make them feel good. We have created an entire economy.
That is correct. There are people who have not worked a day in their lives who are living off the fat of the land. And those are the people who should be cut, not those of us who work. Screw them.
That's right.
I say tax the bum.
They do everything under the table so that there is nothing on their income taxes.
That's right. How many bums have you seen going into supermarkets with food stamps? I get reports every other day. And then they go out with their husband waiting for them out there in a Mercedes. And they got the food stamps in there with the big attitude as they go in and they buy all that stuff on food stamps. How about that lie?
It's true because I've witnessed it. I've had to do home care, and I've seen people with big flat-screen TVs and fancier cell phones than I have ever had.
Lorraine, you know, I started as a welfare worker in the Upper West Side of New York. People don't know that. I was a welfare investigator. Today they call it something else. I don't know what. The Department of Welfare, City of New York. I saw one abuse after another, and I saw welfare bums living better than I was as a working welfare investigator. Just out of college, I was making $5,300 a year. I had no furniture in my house. I had to write checks from the City of New York so the bums on welfare could have furniture. And I asked my superintendent, why are we writing checks for them for furniture? And she said to me, because civilized people have furniture. I said, I don't. I can't afford it. She said, that's the way the system is. I quit that job soon thereafter. Do you know that?
Yes, and it's still correct today, and even more people are on the takeout, and they all work under the table, and they have better and more things. They have more money in their pocket than I do.
And how much money are they sending back to their third world country and countrymen and not reporting it as they take out of the black market in this country? How about cracking down on them?
Yes.
Well, Lorraine, thank you for being one of the rich, one of the rip-off rich, and calling the show. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go across the country. This is a very emotional topic. There are many other stories that will just get you crazy today. The California Teachers Union is rallying behind the cop killer, Mumia Abu-Jamal, who was seen with a smoking gun over a cop, who after he shot police officer Daniel Faulkner, and police officer Faulkner begged for his life, this piece of garbage shot him in the head. And the vermin, the California Federation of Teachers, passed a resolution reaffirming their support for this rat, this Mumia Abu-Jamal. He was sentenced to death in the 1982 execution murder of Philadelphia police officer Daniel Faulkner during a routine traffic stop. They're calling him a radio journalist. A bum like this, a low-life street rat like this, was on some communist radio station intermittently, a radio journalist, and a guy like me with a show for 17 years, they make believe I don't exist. You're living in an upside-down world. You're living in a world where the unions are out of control. The unions are stealing the money from the tax base, enriching their members, and now they're backing a cop killer, Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Savage.
Most Americans tend to dislike government spending in the abstract, but like the stuff that it buys. Most of us, regardless of party affiliation, believe that we should have a strong military and a strong defense. Most Americans believe we should invest in education and medical research. Most Americans think we should protect commitments like Social Security and Medicare.
I don't.
And without even looking at a poll, my finely honed political instincts tell me that almost nobody believes they should be paying higher taxes.
No kidding.
I think it's a matter of patriotism here as well. If you are taking home a bigger and bigger slice of the economy, and you're paying less and less in terms of your tax rates, and you're imposing the costs on everybody else, are you really being patriotic? Are you really fulfilling your responsibility to this country? I would say possibly no.
That's Robert Reich, the mini-man, grifting off a tenured position at the University of California at Moscow called Berkeley, a man who's never worked a day in his life. He's bounced from university to administrations, left-wing administrations, Reich, then to universities, telling us it's patriotic for the rich to pay their fair share. And he's a rich man, by the way. He and his wife are rich by their own definition. And I would say, since all of these communists are so anxious to see the rich pay more, why don't they show us by example? And why don't they give up more than the 4% more that Obama wants? Why don't they give up 40% more of their income and put their money where their mouth is? If Robert Reich really believes it's patriotic to fulfill your responsibility to this country by giving up more money, he ought to give up 40% of his income to the poor, suffering people of the United States of America. Now, notice how the liar-in-chief, Obama, linked together military, education, medical research, Social Security, and Medicare. Notice how he linked them all together. Most Americans would like a stronger military. Of course, we know that there's corruption. We know that there are contracts that are out of control. The military-industrial complex is something we all know needs to be controlled. Investing in education is one of the greatest lies I can prove it to you as a former teacher. It's not about how much money you throw at the classroom. It's about the quality of the teacher and the parents. That's what it's about. There were days when there was almost no money for schools, and kids turned out to be incredible in this country. I'm a former teacher. I've taught almost every grade. And the more money they spend, I'll give you an example. I'll give you one example out of many. You want to focus on it? Education? You want to see what a lie that is? In Marin County, California, it's a largely white county. I know that's considered evil, but it's largely Caucasian people. And there is an enclave of African Americans in Marin City, California, over by near Sausalito, largely a result of African American workers who came over to build the ships that helped win World War II. And the communists in the 60s and 70s argued that there was a disproportionate share of money going to the white schools and not enough going to the black schools, to make it very simple. So they kept grifting out more and more money for the Marin City schools until eventually, the last I checked, they were getting about $11,000 to $13,000 per year per student. This is a public school now in Marin City, and the grades kept going down. They got more and more money, and the grades kept going down. So they couldn't continue the con of saying it was a result of a lack of money. Then they had to figure out how to come up with the next lie. I don't know what the next lie is yet. I haven't kept up with the grifters. But the fact is, it's not about how much money you throw at schools. It's about the quality of the teachers and the quality of the parents. Nothing else ever mattered. I can name many students who came from extremely poor homes, went to schools with minimal toys, who became superb workers, inventors, writers. I mean, I'm going to give you more examples. I don't want to give you one example after another. I went to virtually crappy schools in the Bronx. They had almost nothing. But they were great teachers who demanded a lot out of us, and we were all ashamed to fail. We worked very hard. In high school, same thing. We didn't have a lot of bells and whistles. We didn't have theater. You had a drama department. You didn't have a big new theater for the degenerates to top the children. You know what I mean? In a pair of tights. Theater. They need theater. That's what America needs right now. Over in Marin County, again, there's a high school. They raised millions of dollars a few years ago to build what? An electronics lab? No. A science lab? No. They built a theater. So the junkies' children, all the drug addicts' children, could put on a pair of tights and do a Renaissance fair. You hear? That's what they need, and that's what they call education today. So we go down the list. It's all rubbish. It's total and absolute rubbish coming out of this man's mouth. Every word that he speaks drips with class envy, class warfare, and racial hatred. I've never seen anything like it. It's sickening me. I watch the man, and I get revolted by him because I see him lying over and over again. Over and over and over again is driving me crazy. Listen to clip 12 now.
A 70% cut in clean energy, a 25% cut in education, a 30% cut in transportation, cuts in college Pell Grants that will grow to more than $1,000 per year. That's the proposal. These are the kinds of cuts that tell us we can't afford the America that I believe in, and I think you believe in.
The America you believe in is an America that Karl Marx believed in and dreamed of. It's not an America that most Americans believe in, Mr. Obama. Now, a 70% cut in clean energy is a lie. It's a payoff to Nancy Pelosi's friends and to General Electric, who has trillions of dollars in government contracts to develop rubbish energy that will never work, that is less efficient than coal-fired plants. 25% cut in education? Why don't you start by cutting bilingual education? Get rid of all bilingual education across America. You probably won't have to cut another nickel. Now, what do you mean a 30% cut in transportation? Where does that money go? My roads are broken all over the Bay Area of California. Every road is broken. And cuts in Pell Grants, so they can go there and learn how to put a condom on a cucumber or how to stick a crucifix in a jar of urine? I didn't get a Pell Grant. I worked summers. I worked nights. I worked weekends. I didn't need a Pell Grant! This is classic Marxism. I'm sick of it. And if we had an alternative party, if we had a Republican party, they would get up there today and scream at him. They wouldn't let him get away with it. But you saw what they did. They lied to us. There was no $38 billion in cuts. It's $383 million or so that was actually cut. They lied through your face. Boehner is a pink tie The whole pack of them are pink ties. I told you this years ago, it's a two-party system, a one-party system with a two-card Monty. It's two-card Monty with, no, you know what I'm saying, with no P under either shell. No P under either shell. You can shuffle around the shells, and no matter which one you pick up, there's no P under the shell. The American people are getting beaten to death by both of these gangs of grifters. Then you say, whoa, you got to calm down. You got to be more civil. Like heck I do. I'm not going to be civil when I'm being fleeced by a bunch of criminals. This is criminal. Stealing from my pocket, I'm supposed to say thank you. There's an old Russian saying, you can't pee on my back and call it rain, Mr. Obama. You stood up there today and you peed on the backs of the most productive Americans and you try to tell us it was rain. No, Mr. Obama, you can't pee down our backs and call it rain. No, sir. You can fool some of the people some of the time and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Okay, Mr. Obama, that comes from your mentor, Abraham Lincoln. 1-800-449-8255. Not one word from either party about cutting medication, education for the non-citizen. Illegal aliens are sucking the states dry. California spends almost, I think the number is closer to $20 billion a year on education and medication for non-citizens. Close the emergency rooms. Don't let them in. Sure, if you're in an auto wreck, let them in. I've been in emergency rooms three times last year. That's my primary care. I pay for it. My insurance doesn't. I do. I pay for it. And when I go in there, oh, you should see the gold-plated treatment for illegal aliens from Mexico. The whole family's there in a little tent next to me, all enjoying it. The kid has sniffles. They bring him in to treat a cold. They bring him out a translator. The doctors trip over themselves to make sure they don't say anything that might be considered derogatory for fear that one of the shyster lawyers would sue the hospital. So the little brat who comes in with sniffles gets a gold-plated care, must cost $5,000, and I'm supposed to pay for that with state taxes? Not in my book. Not in my book, mister. If I were president, I'd slam the door shut on illegal aliens and hospitals across America. You want to tighten the budget? You want to save the states without raising taxes? You want to save the federal government without raising taxes? Why don't you talk about the illegal immigrants sucking us dry and whatever money they make is not being taxed and the extras being sent back to their home country? $15, $20 billion a year goes to Mexico alone. $15 to $20 billion a year taken out of the economy and sent home. Not a nickel of it taxed. Did you ever hear anyone talk about taxing the illegal alien? Did you hear that? No, tax the rich. Tax the productive. This is classic class envy. This is classic class warfare. This is, again, a party which was once called a minority party. That's all it is. It's a minority party, a party that panders to the minorities on the table. This is attacking the white middle class because the white middle class is the primary generator of $250,000 and more a year. In plain English, it's class warfare. It's unbelievable to me how he gets away with this. People are not afraid to say a word to this guy. But it got worse today. If you can believe it, it got worse today. And here's Hillary Clinton pandering at the U.S. Islamic World Forum. And she says something that I cannot believe came out of that liar's mouth, where she says Islam has always been a part of American history. Now, I'm a student of history. And so far as I know, George Washington was not Muslim. So far as I know, Jackson was not Muslim. I've been checking, and I cannot find any reference to the fact that any of the founding fathers were Muslim. I cannot find any reference to any Muslims having fought in the American Revolutionary War. And yet, Hillary Clinton says this in clip two.
I'm especially proud that this year, the forum is recognizing the contributions of the millions of American Muslims who do so much to make our country strong. As President Obama said in Cairo, Islam has always been a part of American history. And every day, American Muslims are helping to write our story.
I rest my case. Now, it gets even better. Wait, it gets better from the communist left. Here's Nancy Pelosi, one of the most hated women in American history. If you were to rank people hated, women hated in American politics, I don't think there's anyone higher on the pyramid than her. Maybe Hillary and her and Madeleine Albright would be vying for the crown. Here is where she says elections should not matter as much as they do. You're not going to believe this. Listen to clip four.
Elections shouldn't matter as much as they do. Should be someplace on the spectrum or respect.
Stop the music. That's Nancy Pelosi, the black shirt, saying elections shouldn't matter as much as they do. I swear to you, you can't make this stuff up. You cannot make this stuff up. The Democrat Party is the party of the radical, extremist, un-American left. There's no question in my mind that any person who works for a living would vote for a Democrat should have their head examined. Okay, I'm going to take a break.
Savage.
First of all, this is a vision that says even though Americans can't afford to invest in education at current levels or clean energy, even though we can't afford to maintain our commitment on Medicare and Medicaid, we can somehow afford more than $1 trillion in new tax breaks for the wealthy. That's who needs to pay less taxes? They want to give people like me a $200,000 tax cut that's paid for by asking 33 seniors each to pay $6,000 more in health costs.
Total lies.
That's not right.
It's all wrong.
It's not going to happen as long as I'm president.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be president much longer. Maybe we should have a referendum on this imposter in the White House. Maybe we can encourage a Democrat Party to save the Republic and save their party by moving to impeach him. Because this man is so far outside the ken of American politics that he doesn't even belong in the White House. This is a radical takeover of the country by an extremist of the most extreme variety. It couldn't get more extreme than this. In other words, let us say Al Sharpton became president. It wouldn't be any different. Here's a president who goes to New York City last week and panders to one of the worst Americans, in my opinion. Goes down to the level of the gutter. Down to the level of the gutter. I mean, it's astounding to me that you can't see this. How can anyone vote for this man? But again, asking 33 seniors each to pay. What the heck does the word senior mean? I'm a senior. 33 seniors, like that's somehow a noble position to be in. You know, seniors were once juniors. They were once ordinary people. Some were good, some were bad, some were totally rotten through the core. Evil, some were good. What do you think, because you hit a certain age, suddenly you become sacred? What sanctimonious garbage this is. 33 seniors each to pay $6,000 more in health. They should pay $10,000 more in health. So they have less money to go to Atlantic City, less money to sit with the quarters and the cigarette dangling out of their mouth on the gambling buses that turn over every other day. They're all suffering, the seniors, the poor seniors. Seniors, every senior's a saint. They're living like they never lived before. Some of them go to doctors like it's an entertainment for them. Medical entertainment, medical entertainment. When you have free medicine, you take it. Let's say you don't work for a living and you're a senior. You don't work for a living. And you're a senior, and the communist government gives you as much medical care as you ask for, demand for, because the shyster lawyer has made it so that you have to get the care that you demand. Monday, you go and see the oncologist. Tuesday, you go and see the proctologist. Wednesday, you go see the loxologist. Thursday, you go see the pikeologist. And on Friday, you go see the loxologist again to see what the results were. That doesn't include lab visits, free pharmaceuticals, and whatever else you can grift out of the system. Seniors, my behind. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of it. Half of them are on medications they don't need that makes them even sicker. Eight medications a day. I went into a myself. I'm lucky so far. See, I'm very lucky. It's not that I didn't stuff my mouth with strawberry shortcake. It's that I'm lucky, you hear? I'm lucky. Not that I denied eating garbage all my life or that I didn't smoke cigarettes. Okay, I'm lucky because I bicycle every day. I'm lucky. You ever see the slobs in the doctor's offices, the seniors, walking around looking like tanks with the fat hanging off their behind? Seniors. I see them in these resort towns. You could puke looking at them. Where do you think obesity comes from? The air? It's not catching. It's from being a slob. That's where obesity comes from. Eight medications. I go to the emergency room last year. The doctor always says, what medications are you on? While the doctor's facing the wall, they don't look at you, you know. The new breed of doctor, they don't look at you. They look at the wall of a chart. You're sitting there shivering in a gown, and the doctor, Mr. Stethoscope, is staring at the wall. Let's see, Mr. Hammond, what medications are you on? None. They turn their head around. How could you not be on any medication? You're over 60. Because I'm not. I don't take any. I have vitamins. They don't believe me. Average American, 7-8 medications. How many billions of dollars a month does that cost for unnecessary drugs that not only don't help them, but in many cases hurt them? How many? Anyone analyze the cost of that? I've given you two ideas now that the great president hasn't thought of because he doesn't live in the real world. He is an academic Marxist, so he doesn't know the real world. I'm like Steppenwolf. I've been through many careers, so I know an awful lot about a lot of things. And I'll tell you a few things right now. You close the emergency rooms across America to non-citizens, maybe $100 billion a year would be saved across America. You put a highway patrolman in every emergency room. No citizenship, no emergency room, except in catastrophic illness. Sorry, we're not treating sniffles today, okay? No sniffles treated today. No colds. This is not a primary care facility. And if you don't like it, go back to your country of origin. We can't afford it. We can't afford it anymore. That's $100 billion a year. That's a starter, isn't it? Then cut back on the unlimited visits by oldsters to doctors. Make them pay $25 a visit. And you'll see how many of them suddenly get better. You'll see they don't have to see the loctologist on Monday, the proctologist on Tuesday, the herringtologist on Wednesday, the livertologist on Thursday, and the laboratory on Friday. You'll find out how many of them get along with so much less medication and so much less medication and doctors.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Proud that this year the forum is recognizing the contributions of the millions of American Muslims who do so much to make our country strong. As President Obama said in Cairo, Islam has always been a part of American history, and every day American Muslims are helping to write our story.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Those who benefited most from our way of life can afford to give back a little bit more. We begrudge those who've done well. The wealthier have borne a little more. Everybody pays. The most fortunate among us can afford to pay a little more. I don't need another tax cut. The wealthier are paying higher taxes. A little bit more. A little more. Pay a little more. Higher taxes. More. 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 Thank you. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Thank you. You made me cry when you said goodbye. Is that a shame?
It's the Savage Nation. It's a very sad day indeed when a man as patently a naked Marxist, a pan-Leninist, an academic Marxist, whichever you wish to use as this, can give such a speech which is clearly nothing but class warfare and get away with it is amazing to me. Now, Joe Biden fell asleep during Obama's speech. You can see the picture of it on the Drudge Report. And you really can't blame Biden for falling asleep during Obama's lying speech. We've heard it all before. It's from the Communist Playbook. Tax the evil, lucky rich. Punish those who succeed because they stole it from you. It's the Republicans' fault. They want to starve old people, the disabled, and kids. And by the way, they also want to kill women with their plan. Here's a team of academic Marxists who want to create tax hike triggers, vague and unserious budgets with no cuts, lying about tax hikes by calling them spending cuts, raising taxes to pay for more and more and more government spending. All the communists on the Democrat side are on this team, as are the few Republicans who went along with this, mainly Tom Coburn and Saxby Chambliss. Tom Coburn, Republican Oklahoma, and Saxby Chambliss, Republican Georgia, along with several Senate Democrats known as the Gang of Six, have joined the communist hordes of tax without cutting anything. The fact of the matter is it's not going to work. They want to put in a tax hike trigger. They don't want to cut a dime. They don't want to cut a dime. So the battle lines are drawn, and you got to decide which side of the line you're on. For Americans in general, particularly those working Americans who between man and woman make $250,000 or more a year, for conservatives, it's a time for a battle. Are you on the team of economic growth, tax reform, spending cuts, entitlement reform, no tax hikes? Or are you on the team of the old Moscow, economic stagnation, tax and spend, and entitlements that bankrupt taxpayers? You have a choice. You have a very, very clear choice. This is class warfare. It's all it's ever been. The Democrats have always been into this class warfare game. But now, with this fellow, it's come full circle to one of the most dramatic attacks upon the middle class I've seen in my lifetime. Now, again, I want to start by saying I'm biased. I am very biased because I'm one of the rich. But I'm not rich because I'm fortunate. I'm rich because I never quit. I'm rich because, although for 30 years, the vermin on the left threw every impediment in the way to keep me down because I was a white male without any connections who came from an immigrant family, they did everything they could to make sure I didn't get ahead. They gave jobs to less qualified minorities and less qualified women, less qualified illegal aliens. They did it every step of the way. And instead of giving up and crying and saying boo-hoo, I got angry. I got angrier. I got even angrier. And I wouldn't quit. And now I've come back. And 17 years later, I'm a talk show host and a famous author. And the fact of the matter is, it's not because I'm fortunate. It's because I worked hard. I could have retired at that time. I could have retired 15 years ago and lived on very little. But I chose not to quit and not to give in to the Obamas and the Clintons and the Reiches and the other communists. I wouldn't let them beat me. Because I'm man-child in the promised land. I'm an immigrant son, and a lot was expected of me. I had pride. I still have pride. And I didn't want to shame my family, most especially. I did not want my children to be disappointed in me by seeing a man who was beaten by society. I wouldn't let them make me go away. I wouldn't hide in the corner and complain and become one of these bitter old men. So I reinvented myself 18 years ago. I worked very hard at a new career after many other careers. And I succeeded by fighting every day of my life as I do on this show. I'm the target for Obama. I'm the target for Obama. I listen to this man's lies. I cannot believe what I'm listening to. I look at his face and I see him lift up that pompous head of his. When he lies, you know, he gives himself away. You know, liars give themselves away. You could see this man lying. You know, there's many tricks anyone who studies liars can see them. Either they gulp or they look to the left. This one gives it away. You ever see him lift up the pompous head? Lifts up the pompous head, looks up to some invisible Marxist God in heaven who is shining down upon him for doing the bidding of Joseph Stalin. It's sickening to watch this. But if he were alone, he wouldn't be president. He's not alone. He's got the entire media, 99% of academia, behind him. And the fact of the matter is, we the people who produce most of the revenue for the government have an obligation to fight him and the other liars. It got worse today with Nancy Pelosi saying elections shouldn't matter as much as they do. Here you must listen to the black-shirted Nancy Pelosi in clip 4.
Elections shouldn't matter as much as they do.
Stop. That's the black shirt. That's the black shirt Nancy Pelosi saying elections shouldn't matter as much as they do. Mussolini would be proud of this woman. I cannot believe how you people can vote for these. I don't know how anyone listening to this show who works for a living could ever vote for a Democrat. Ever! I don't know how. I don't know how you don't see the handwriting on the wall. Say it again, Sam. Play it again, Sam. Play the Garibaldi speech. Elections shouldn't matter as much as they do. Hillary Clinton speaking, pandering to the U.S. Islamic World Forum, saying Islam has always been part of the American history. The last I checked, George Washington was not a Muslim. Jefferson was not a Muslim. Ben Franklin was not a Muslim. None of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were Muslim. How has Islam always been a part of American history? Can anyone answer this question? As I said to you in the last hour, there's an old Russian saying, you can't pee down my back and call it rain. Today, Obama peed down the backs of the hardworking American taxpayer and tried to call it rain. That's what he did. He peed on the backs of middle America and he tried to call it rain. Well, I, for one, was wearing a raincoat. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The tax code is also loaded up with spending on things like itemized deductions. And while I agree with the goals of many of these deductions, from homeownership to charitable giving, we can't ignore the fact that they provide millionaires an average tax break of $75,000, but do nothing for the typical middle-class family that doesn't itemize. So my budget calls for limiting itemized deductions for the wealthiest 2% of Americans. A reform that would reduce...
Turn off the academic Marxist liar for a minute. Is anyone listening to this show know what he just said? Did you hear what he just said? He wants to attack charitable giving. That's number one. He is going to decimate charities across America. Number two, he's not going to let you itemize the cost of your mortgage. He'll destroy the home ownership element of the middle class. And then he says the average American who doesn't itemize, is generally a lower wage earner. So they don't itemize. It's taken from them by the government before they even see their money. Anyone who makes more than, I don't know, $50,000 a year itemizes. I guess they're the rich now. So his plan now is attacking anybody who itemizes their deductions. This is what you get when you elect an academic Marxist liar to the White House. I'm sick of this. I can't tell you, as I watched him lying his way through the speech, I became livid with rage. It was not so much that I knew my taxes might go up 4% more from 35 to 39% plus 11% state tax, which is about 50% of my income. In other words, 50% of 50 cents out of every dollar stolen by the government before I see it. It's not that. It's that the lies, the big lies, and where the money would be going. Who's the money going for? The least productive members of society. That's who it would go for. They want me, a man who is working, to give money to them so they can disperse it to their cronies. In other words, steal it and give it out to the bums on the bottom so they can get reelected. That's what they want. General Electric paid no taxes last year. Jeff Immelt went to Brazil with the president, along with the president of Westinghouse and the president of that the corporation run by Soxberger. The crook, Soxberger, the crooked Sandy Berger, who was caught stealing secrets out of the National Archives, is a lobbyist for the law firm or the PR firm. And the boss of that company went to Brazil with the president. No one to this day reported on it but me. I'm the only one who traveled to South America with the president. How is it possible that I, an unknown talk show host, a man never mentioned by any newspaper in America, a man who's never mentioned by any television show or radio show, how is it we found that Jeff Immelt of General Electric, the president of Westinghouse, and the president of that despicable firm went with the president to South America? Why did they go? What did they go for? Why would a man who employs Madeleine Albright, war criminal in my opinion, Sandy Berger, common thief in my opinion, why would he be allowed to travel to South America with the president? Now, you understand that there's such a thing as quid pro quo. You understand that when a guy like Jeff Immelt, who is the president of General Electric, the CEO, whatever they call him, goes with the president, there's favors that are done. So when you have a wholly owned subsidiary of the White House called NBC and MSNBC, And the network, a day before the president calls for tax hikes for the rich, has these little prostitutes on the show who say that rich white men help drive the economy into the ditch. We need to tax more. It all came out yesterday on MSNBC. This was orchestrated by the government. One after the other. Listen to how it ran from clips 1, 2, and 3. Just play them back to back, guys, if you have it for the audio log today.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president...
No, whoa, stop. I'm talking about Brzezinski, Nadler, and Reich. Those are... Yes, do we still have any of them? Play any of them. That's what I'd like to hear. Any of them will be...
Republicans keep saying their mantra is the country is broke. We have to cut services. We have to cut Medicare. We have to eliminate Medicare for all practical purposes. We have to cut Medicaid, cut everything. The president has not been saying what he should have been saying, which is the country is not broke. We're simply not taxing the big corporations enough. We're not taxing the millionaires and billionaires enough.
I just don't understand why, with top earners doing better than ever, why they can't be a part of this equation. I'm sorry. It would just be a lot easier to swallow. And if you looked at the New York Times yesterday and you saw the top 30 earners and how much money they are making all over again, including some of the people who drove us into the ditch. All white men, by the way.
Right.
Just one woman. And I didn't see any African Americans.
Right.
I think we have a problem that we need to address as a society. Sorry.
Now, Mika, let me tell you, the biggest problem is your father. Your father, Brzezinski, was one of the biggest problems. He's a warmonger, in my opinion, who just launched us into a war because he has the same mentality he's had since he worked for Jimmy Carter. Your father's the problem, Brzezinski. And the only reason you have a job as a mouthpiece for the left is because the government wants a wench like you on television attacking the middle class as though you yourself don't come from rich white men, huh? What do you come from all of a sudden? You became an honorary minority. Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC. And before that, you heard Gerald Nadler, the fat slob from Brooklyn, New York, saying we're not broke, we're not taxing big corporations enough. As I said to you at the beginning of the show tonight, if you took away 100% of corporate profits, if you stole the $400 billion in profits that the Fortune 500 companies produce, okay, if you took all of it, 100% of it, it would keep the government running for only 40 days. So it's not about taxation. It's about spending, spending, and spending. The communists have never changed. They never will change. The only communists who have changed are the communists in China and the communists in Russia. As the communists in China and Russia went to the free market, we, the stupid nation that we are, put the first communist in our history in the White House. They went one way, we went the other way. What they found to be a disaster, we enacted. It's astounding to me that the white middle class was hoodwinked by this man. How they could be hoodwinked is understandable given George Bush's terrible record, given McCain's desire to lose. There was no question McCain was set up to lose by the fake Republican Party in order to make certain the Democrats fleeced us for 8 years so we could have the hope that they'd come back and save us so they can continue to rip us one way and the other. So I've said my piece. You know what I'm saying? I've said my piece. Biden fell asleep during the speech. Take a look at the picture of old water gun Biden, fast asleep during the speech. But you can't blame Joe Biden for sleeping during the academic Marxist diatribe. You can't blame him. We've heard it all before. Tax the evil, lucky rich. Punish those who succeed. It's Bush's fault. Republicans want to starve old people, the disabled, and kids. And also, by the way, they want to kill women with their plan. Mr. Obama, again, I will repeat what I said before. There's an old Russian saying, you can't pee on my back and call it rain. And today, you tried to pee on the backs of the hardworking Americans, and all of us know it's not rain. You can't pee on our backs and call it rain, Mr. Obama. You should be ashamed of yourself. If you think you could get away with this tin horn speech, you're mistaken. Most of America knows who you are. You've been exposed as a naked Marxist. In my book, Trickle Up Poverty, where I go all the way back to your years at Occidental College and your friends from Pakistan, Mr. Obama. Read it and see what you think.
Savage.
Well, here we are. It's Eat the Rich, the old playbook of the party of minorities, the minority party, pandering again to minorities, pandering again to those who, I guess, get off by attacking the middle class. And the middle class is a code word for hardworking white people in plain English. Many, many black people have moved into the middle class. Many Hispanics are in the middle class. But since white people are the predominant race in America, white people are the targets of Obama in plain English. You know, everyone uses euphemisms and codes. I try to cut through them, and I know it makes you uncomfortable. But this is a minority party. Make no mistake about it. It came out today that CNN is thinking of taking a foul-mouthed, one of the most despicable, foul-mouthed, untalented African-American entertainers in history and making him a host on the show for 7 p.m. And MSNBC said that they're stunned by their rating increase amongst blacks and Hispanics. What does that tell you? What does it tell you if MSNBC is a tool of Imelton Obama to attack the middle class and that the white people have stopped, by and large, listening to these channels? What does it tell you? It's race warfare, class warfare. This is unbelievable to me how they get away with it, how the man can lie right to the American people and there's almost not a peep out of the Republicans. And you know why. If Congress took a 100% tax on all of you making $250,000 or more a year, 100%, if they took every dollar you made, not 39%, not 49%, not 59%, not 90%, but 100% of every dollar you made, took it all from you, the government would take in $1.4 trillion. That would keep the government running for 141 days at this rate. What do you do for the rest? Well, go after corporate profits. Fortune 500 companies earn nearly $400 billion in profits. Since vermin on the left who don't work for a living have been raised and trained and educated to think that profits are all based on theft and greed, they might confiscate these gains and give it to the national treasury. So taking away all $400 billion in profits would keep the government running for another 40 days. So now if you took away all the income of people making 250 grand and more, all corporate income, in profits rather, the country would only run through June, 6 months a year. So where would the rest of the money come from? Well, there's other, according to this article that I'm quoting by Investor's Business Daily by Walter Williams, America has 400 billionaires with a combined net worth of $1.3 trillion. So if Obama the communist and his Democrat cohorts would seize their stocks and bonds and their businesses, yachts, airplanes, mansions, and jewelry, the way it's done in banana republics, what would be left? It would get us to mid-August. See, so there's not enough rich people, not enough corporate profits, not enough middle class to satisfy the voracious greed of Congress. It's all about spending. And you can cut spending very rapidly. I have plans. I've given them out. I've written several books on it. But you and I both know that although I am one of the architects of much of the social discontent in the United States of America, I hate to put it that way, but that's what it comes down to. I could call it social realism if you want. But, you know, when you go back and look at my books, and I'm talking about things such as taxing Iraq with oil, cost us $3 trillion to liberate these selfish Shia, 24 million selfish Shia never gave us a barrel of oil. Take it from them. Take it from them. Use the Navy for what it's for instead of for training people how to give birth on a ship. Use the Navy, damn it. I'm sick of it, what this man has done to our military. Stealing our military from us and using it for social engineering. China's building up their military at a more rapid pace than Japan did in the 1930s. China is taking its ill-gained stolen profits from us and using it to build the fastest build up the military at a faster rate than Japan did in the 1930s. You know where that went, didn't you? They're going to nullify our military before they fire a shot. They're using all of the methodology that was spelled out by who? Sun Tzu. Okay? They'll nullify us without firing a shot. First, they own the economy. Okay? And then next, they're going to nullify us militarily without firing a shot. And what are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? New York, Joe, WOR. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I'd like to talk about the 1920s and 30s in fascist Italy. They decimated the middle class the same way that the strategy is for Obama. And they used the upper, they used for their party all those powerful industrialists that would go with them. And the ones that didn't lost their land and became poor. So trickle-up poverty was happening then.
That's right. And Nancy Pelosi is a Mussolini-like black shirt right out of the playbook. She is one of the most frightening individuals in American political history. Did you hear the soundbite of her saying elections shouldn't count that much?
Absolutely.
Can you believe that this came out of this woman's mouth?
When you get Jeffrey Immelt and GE, and then the others are going to look at this and say, gee, I should do the same thing, the big, powerful industrialist, so that he
That's doesn't... right. Now, you know, it's interesting you should mention that, because Obama says, he keeps quoting Warren Buffett, one of my least favorite people on earth. And there's a reason that he keeps quoting Warren Buffett. I've got to find it. I want you to go to clip 20. Listen, play this for everyone listening to the show.
I say that at a time when the tax burden on the wealthy is at its lowest level in half a century, the most fortunate among us can afford to pay a little more. I don't need another tax cut. Warren Buffett doesn't need another tax cut.
Let's stop right there. Now, how do you think he got Warren Buffett to go along with raised taxes on the middle class? How did he get the Gates family to go along with raised taxes on the middle class? How did he do that? He gave them favors. He said to them, I'll tell you what, Mr. Buffett, you have all these incredible companies. I'll give you incentives, contracts, whatever you need, if you'll come out and say raise taxes. You think this came out of Warren Buffett's actual opinion? I don't, not for one minute. It's the way it works. So we have a concerted effort to destroy the middle class. And at this time, the very rich think that they will be immune. They don't understand where this goes. They have no idea where this goes. As I said to you earlier on the Savage Nation, the Russians gave up communism and brought in free market reform, and they're booming. China gave up classic communism. They have a mixed socialist capitalist society, and they're booming. And we, stupid, dumb America, just when we should have elected a naked capitalist, elected a naked Marxist. The perfect storm hit us. Just when we needed a naked buccaneer capitalist like Donald Trump, we got a dumb academic Marxist, double talker, in the White House, who's doing the exact opposite of what needs to be done to save this country. You understand this? Portland, Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you're so right on to the point. I wanted to give you an example where I came from. I came from China 19 years ago. Like you said, there is nobody that time was rich. So guess what? Everybody's salary is 36 yuan a month.
Mm-hmm.
And who is he going to tax from any rich? Because there was no rich left.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's taking from everybody, average people. People mm-hmm. work at the 7-Eleven. So yeah. Those people will be the ultimate victim of his Marxist system.
Yes. Daniel, let me ask you something. As a man from China, with the mixture of socialism and capitalism in China, there's an enormous wealthy class in China today, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is the tax rate on the wealthy in China?
The tax rate on the wealthy is about 40%, sir.
It is 40%?
Yes, sir.
40%. So Obama's copying the communist Chinese in the percent that he would like to tax the wealthy here.
Yes, sir.
He wants to raise it from 30. He wants to raise it from about 36 to 39%, is approximate the same exact tax rate as communist China. Do they also pay state taxes in China in addition to federal?
No, just federal taxing.
Ah, so the 40% is it? There's not another 10% as in the criminal state of California.
No.
What is your state tax in Oregon? It was just raised, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It's about 8 and 9% now.
Sure, they have a huge welfare class, don't they, in Oregon?
Yes, sir. And the people like me, I'm paying for 20 people who I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to fight communism with the last breath that I have, because I know what it's done to the world. 100 million people died as a result of this distorted, sick philosophy. And just when we should have elected a naked capitalist, We elected a naked Marxist and put him into the White House, and this is what we're getting now. He is doing everything wrong. Everything is upside down and everything is backwards. Daniel, you know, I spelled it all out in Trickle Up Poverty. If you don't have the book, there's going to be one sent to you tomorrow. Please stay on the line. I don't think anyone's going to talk about anything else tomorrow or the next day. And I don't know how many different ways I have to tell you the same thing. You can't pee on my back and call it rain, Mr. Obama. And I am the middle class. I am biased. I am the middle class. But make no mistake about it, Mr. Obama. You didn't give me a dime. It's people like you who try to turn me into a poor man. It's people like you who try to put me into the poorhouse. It's people like you who said white males need not apply. It's people like you who said some people will have to put their futures on hold, Mr. Obama. It was you and your ilk and people behind you, the secret class of communists in this country who found you, who nurtured you and greased the skids for you every step of the way. And now they almost have absolute power. They almost have absolute power. They had it for two straight years. And then the most despicable, hated woman in American history was thrown out, Nancy Pelosi. And she's getting even more draconian now that she's not in power. She's slipping up. And the naked black shirt is coming out in her. This was picked up, this soundbite of Pelosi saying elections shouldn't matter as much as they do. On amateur video at Patch TV Town Hall. I want you to hear this again in clip four. You've got to hear this.
Elections shouldn't matter as much as they do.
This is right out of the philosophy of Mussolini and the black shirts. Elections shouldn't matter as much as they do. This is coming out of the mouth of a Democrat. How can anyone who works for a living ever vote for a Democrat again? I will never understand the insanity of it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm especially proud that this year the forum is recognizing the contributions of the millions of American Muslims who do so much to make our country strong. As President Obama said in Cairo, Islam has always been a part of American history. And every day, American Muslims are helping to write our story.
Yeah. I wonder what story it is they're writing, though. Is it a fairy tale or a nightmare, is the question. To Muslims listening to the show, I want to be fair about this. Can someone tell me how Islam has always been part of American history? I'm a highly educated man. I've read a fair amount of history. I don't quite understand what she means by that. How could she repeat the big lie of Obama? Now, Goebbels, who worked for Hitler, said that if you repeat a big lie often enough, it will become the truth. And, of course, as Obama said in Cairo, Islam has always been part of American history. And so now Hillary Clinton, being a good follower of the leader, says the same thing. But does that make it true? Is it true that Islam has always been part of American history? As again, I'm searching the historical records. So far as I know, Washington, Franklin, Jefferson, none of the founding fathers were Muslim. I don't know what they mean by Islam has always been part of American history. I do know this. I do know that in the early 1800s, American merchant ships were being attacked by pirates, Muslim pirates, as they are today. Only instead of having spineless men running the U.S. Navy, spineless men who belong running movie theaters with the usher uniforms they're wearing, they had real men, and they created the first ship for the U.S. Navy. They armored it, and they created the first Marines. The U.S. Marines were soldiers fundamentally. Who were on the ships, and they put they had cutlasses and guns, and they wore leather necks around their neck to protect themselves against the Muslim pirates who would try to slash them with their swords. And these tough, brave, patriotic American soldiers, known as Marines, protected the U.S. merchant fleets with their naval ships. That was the start of the U.S. Navy. Today, of course, it's another story. Today, the Indian Navy has to intercept the Muslim pirates. Today, every Navy on earth is doing the job except the U.S. Navy, which is busy delivering diapers, I think, to birthing clinics somewhere in America or somewhere in the world. I don't know what the U.S. Navy is doing right now. Nobody knows what the U.S. Navy is doing. We have no idea under Admiral Mullen. Admiral Mullen, the usher. The usher looks like he would be great in the theater with the uniform. A Captain Kangaroo. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know how this happens. I don't know how this happens. That we wake up. Alice in Wonderland, the Democrats are supposed to be the party of the people saying elections shouldn't matter as much as they do. Obama peeing on our back calling it rain. Biden falling asleep during the speech. Not one word about cutting wasteful spending. Social Security. Huge numbers of people are collecting checks that they don't deserve. Not those who put money into the system, mind you. Oh, no, no, no. There's lots of people collecting all sorts of divisions of Social Security, such as SDSI. Those are called crazy checks in San Francisco. Many, many people in many places in America collect these crazy checks. They're mainly the artists, you know, the people who sit in cafes and stoned all day, and they write books that no one reads because no one publishes them, and they collect crazy checks. They go in and mutter to themselves or take out their private parts in the Social Security office, and they say, oh, you're crazy. Next case. Next case. You're a good Democrat. That's next case. Give him an SDSI, a funny check, crazy check. Oh, yeah, there's millions of people collecting checks they're not entitled to. There are people collecting their husband's dead husband's check, their dead wife's checks. There are so many people stealing from the Social Security system that you could tighten it up by 20-25% without cutting the legitimate Social Security recipients who put money in and should take it out. You know what I'm saying? And you could raise the retirement age. Raise it by 2 years tomorrow. Raise the retirement age. Not so hard to do. Just raise it. Period. End of story. So what, 2 more years till they can go to Atlantic City and gamble? Oh, boy, whatever. Until 2 more years till they can go and gamble on Atlantic City. What a shock. Who ever heard of this retirement to begin with? How come I'm not retired? What would I do with myself? Wander around and eat an ice cream cone and become obese and get diabetes and a heart attack? What's this retirement? Where'd this come from that the taxpayer is supposed to support people at age 50 or 55? I never saw anything like it. That's the goal in life, is to walk around like a moron doing nothing with yourself and sit around and get drunk in the afternoon. That's the goal of human life? Is to sit and watch daytime television and go to a gambling casino on a bus that turns over on the way back from a gambling casino? I never saw anything like this. You want to talk about taxation? I agree with Donald Trump. Tax the Indian gambling casinos. How many billions would that produce? Ooh! Tax the Indian gambling casinos? They're an oppressed minority. No, you can't tax them. They're sovereign states within states. Can't tax them. Ask Donald Trump what he thinks about it. He owns gambling casinos. He says tax Indian gambling casinos. I didn't hear that coming out of the academic Marxist today. How about closing the emergency rooms across America to illegal aliens? You're in a car wreck, we'll take care of you, but you're not bringing your child in with sniffles. It's not a primary care facility for illegal aliens and their children. No, we cannot afford it. You don't have a citizenship. Any proof of citizenship, we're turning you away. We're putting cops and or highway patrolmen in every emergency room across America. And if you don't have a citizenship card or some proof of citizenship, unfortunately, my friend, you're going to go back where you came from, wherever it is, unless it's a catastrophic illness or an accident, and then we'll treat you. But that's going to stop a lot of it. And then, of course, there's the medical entertainment that so many people engage in. Monday, it's the proctologist. Tuesday, it's the dermatologist. Wednesday, it's the whatologist, whatever you want to name it. Every day, another young man or woman to sit and listen to your fetches and your complaints. And you sit there, and then they give you a medication, and then you check off in your book another one every day. How many doctors a week can you see? As many as you want. Because the shyster lawyer will threaten to sue on your behalf if you don't get all the medical care that you're entitled to. Many Russians came here. And everything they were promised in Mother Russia, and they never got, they got here in America. Ask the doctors in San Francisco about that. Everything they were promised by the communists that they never got, they're getting here.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up. Now, today, of course, the show is all about Eat the Rich. Obama said that millionaires and billionaires should pay more. Now, let me ask you something. Confiscating all incomes above $250,000 alone wouldn't even solve the problems that the government hasn't engaged in by spending themselves to death. In fact, we're spending the whole show today dispelling the myth that taxing the rich will solve our problems. I direct you to a phenomenal article by Walter Williams on Investors Business Daily, which I've linked up on michaelsavage.com. If you were to take away not only all of the assets of the rich, and I mean all of their assets, their houses, their cars, their boats, you still wouldn't solve the budget deficit. In other words, if Congress imposed a 100% tax, taking away all earnings above $250,000 a year, all earnings, it would yield $1.4 trillion. That would keep the government running for 141 days. But what do you do for the other 224 days that year? What if you then took away all the profits from corporations? Since leftist scum think that profits are based on theft and greed, Congress can confiscate all ill-gotten gains and to be returned to their rightful owners, right? Well, taking away all corporate profits would keep the government running for another 40 days. You want to go down the list? No matter what you took away, eventually they're going to have to go after the non-rich, okay? So there it is. It's all a lie. It's a total lie from the communist Obama, and taxing the rich is not the answer. Obama calls new taxes not taxes. You want to hear what the double talker said? He calls the new taxes spending reductions in tax code. Spending reductions in tax code. Nobody knows what that means except those who have to pay it. Biden fell asleep during the speech. We have a picture of him. Arizona has passed a bill requiring proof of U.S. birth for presidential candidates. Hey, extra, read all about it. The budget deal cuts this year's deficit by just $353 million, not the $38 billion that the Republicans told us about. And the Republicans are set to raise the debt limit from the level the GOP leader called beyond comprehension in 2010. So you got screwed. Parents are furious after TSA groped and frisked a six-year-old daughter and said, "Such pretty hair you have." By the way, not only is it a crime against the child, it's a hate crime. As far as I'm concerned, if I were president, I would arrest her for having committed a hate crime. She stuck her fingers in the child's pants. TSA defended it. The TSA defended groping a child, saying terrorists will manipulate societal norms to evade detection. Speaking of the liar in the White House visitor logs are blank most of the time. Obama has secretive meetings in the White House that he's not disclosing. Even the left is shocked by it. Obama's perhaps the most sneaky president in American history. Is there a male-female pay gap? Well, according to Nancy Pelosi, there is. But a study has found that women make 8% more than men. 8% more than men. The big lie. Bank of America says buy oil. It could hit $160 a barrel. All this and more on MichaelSavage.com. Let's see what other stories I have posted for you today. Fascist Pelosi attacks elections. Obama hides names of White House visitors. Hate speech trial of Geert Wilders resumes in Holland. Russians supply Hamas with killer weapons against Jews. Muslim Brotherhood leader says the French ban of the burqa marks the beginning of a dangerous war. You hear? Throwbacks are now threatening France. Read this article. Islamists on welfare, paid to plot the West demise. Their parasitical behavior obliges governments through taxpayers to subsidize their adopted country's own destruction. In 2008, the Toronto Sun reported that hundreds of Greater Toronto Area Muslim men in polygamous marriages, some with a harem of wives, are receiving welfare and social benefits for each of their spouses, thanks to the city and province, Muslim leaders say. Polygamy is a regular part of life for many Muslims, Canadian Society of Muslims President Mumtaz Ali declared bluntly. Ontario recognizes religious marriages for Muslims and others. So then they have welfare abuse on top of the polygamy, and the vermin on the left who have attacked Christianity have nothing to say. According to one 2007 source, immigration, of which Muslims comprise a significant part, costs Sweden at least 40 to 50 billion Swedish kronor That's about $7 billion every year, and has greatly contributed to bringing the Swedish welfare state to the brink of bankruptcy. Yet, well, shall I go on? One Iranian immigrant to Sweden expressed astonishment at his new country's policies. He said, "In Sweden, my family encountered a political system that seemed very strange. The interpreter told us that Sweden is a country where the government will put a check into your mailbox each month if you don't work." She explained that there was no reason to get a job. The statistics from degenerate, failed, drug-addicted Norway are even more shocking. According to a University of Oslo study, non-Western immigrants are 10 times as likely to be on social assistance as native Norwegians. In Germany, Muslims are 4 times as likely to be receiving welfare as non-Muslims. Shall I go on? Would you like to hear a little bit more about polygamy and welfare fraud amongst many Muslims in the United States of America? Ordinary Muslims are not the only ones exploiting generous Western welfare systems for personal gain. In 2005, the UK Telegraph reported that the governor of Pakistan's Sindh province had received British state benefits of around £1,000 a month for 10 months, plus the rent for a northwest London house. So in other words, some of them are collecting welfare. They don't even live in the country. And you wonder why this country is dying? This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
Let's go to the callers. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. New York, WOR. Linda, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
In response to your comment several minutes ago about there not being any commercial advertising on public television or public radio, there are huge underwriting contracts which serve not only as advertising by major corporations, but they also, as per the practice in advertising, they more or less guarantee that the subject matter discussed will not do anything to harm the reputation of those corporations.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I was making a reference to the kind of advertisers you hear on commercial radio that they sneer at. Yes, when it's underwritten by various foundations, it's to make sure that their companies are sort of not the target of investigative reporting, I would suspect.
For example, Chubb, Charles Schwab, Johnson & Johnson, Merrill Lynch, PSE&G, Chevron Texaco, Frito-Lay, Shell, Massachusetts Mutual, Monsanto, Pepsi, Mutual of Omaha, Archer Daniels Midland, Cargill, Bayer Pharmaceuticals, Medtronic, MasterCard.
All wonderful American companies, aren't they, though, Linda? And they all seem to think NPR is a wonderful organization.
Well, but it's advertising, and we're paying for it because the companies are getting tax breaks. They're getting to write this off. And the content is being limited, even though it's advertised as in
yes,
the public.
Yes, you do. You make a very, very good point. Looking at the stories of the day, Linda, you sound like a person who's kind of very involved with the news. What would you say to you are the three top stories out there that struck you today as worthy of discussion?
Whether or not there will be, and this is being discussed in Europe but not here, whether there's going to be some sort of limited nuclear attack on Libya.
What? I didn't even read that. You mean who's going to do the limited nuclear attack on Libya? The EU?
Plus probably the United States. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but the
you know what's interesting? Libyan tanks are reportedly bombarding and killing women and children. When an Israeli fires a rubber bullet, it makes it to the UN. How come we haven't seen the outrage from the vermin on the left about what he's doing to his own citizens?
Well, you're not going to see much of it in the United States press. Read the foreign press. Read the London Independent, the Manchester Guardian.
Yeah, but the American press is obsessed with Israelis who might slap a Palestinian terrorist around after they capture him, after he blew up a bus and killed people. How come they have nothing to say about him? How come they're avoiding this?
Well, I used to...
Oh, we know the... I mean, the question answers the question. Do you think the Charlie Sheen story is worth your attention?
I don't think any of it is worth my attention. Charlie Sheen is somewhat more amusing.
Yes, but why are we somewhat obsessed with Charlie Sheen? Why do you think that is?
That started in the 1950s, the promotion of a celebrity culture, and largely by the Defense Department, believe it or not, to engage the minds of people in what's called family romance, voyeurism, etc. And if you read a book, a great book written by C. Wright Mills called, The Something Elite, in the United States. The Power Elite, I think. I think it was called.
Oh, I remember that book when I was a youngster. That's interesting.
Again,
it's you're saying that the Defense Department came up with this celebrity worship to distract us?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. I never read that, Linda.
Well, from our own lives, because I'm sure a lot of people are more interested in Charlie Sheen than their own family members tonight, which is pretty sad.
Linda, are you a professional? Were you a professional? In what area? Can you tell us?
I'm a food delivery enhancement facilitator, which means waitress.
Oh, come on.
Sure am.
But you have such a cultivated, cultured attitude and approach. How are you so knowledgeable? According to NPR, you're just a waitress, one of the unwashed masses. You don't know anything because you don't work for a government agency.
Well, by the way, when you stated the credentials of Mr. McDonough, it was amusing to me because we've gone from Moscow to mosques. We formerly had Condoleezza Rice as the national deputy secretary, whatever, of NSA.
Yeah, she was national security advisor, right?
So we've got someone who was an academic who had no police experience, no intelligence experience, nothing. Now we've got another one. So when are we going to start hiring people like me with no college degree who probably know more about what the monsters and angels of the world are up to?
Absolutely. You would do a better job than Sandy Berger did as a national security advisor for Bill Clinton. I think as a waitress, you wouldn't have to tuck secret files into your socks, would you?
Well, Mike, I wouldn't trust any of these people in government right now to be my busboy, okay?
Well, you know, you've got a very sharp mind. Are you a news addict?
No. No.
Wait a minute. But you call this radio show, The Savage Nation. You're right on the money with all of your comments. You know what's going on. Where are you getting your information from?
From my own mind, from having done an awful lot of reading on from different points of view, I like to be able to state the opposition's point of view.
But so let's start from the top then. How often do you listen to talk radio?
Every day.
All day long, from the morning till the night?
Yeah, mostly from the right wing. I'm on the left, but I'm interested in how the right wing is covering issues.
Well, that's interesting. So you're from the left side because you're a worker who works for, you know, wages that are, you're struggling. So you see the world from that point of view. And yet you agree with me on a deputy national security advisor ought to have some military experience or some real life street experience?
Not necessarily agreeing with you, but there's no difference in the credentials between Mr. McDonough and Ms. Rice.
Okay, I understand what you're saying now. Nor are they any different from Sandy Berger, who was basically a lawyer lobbyist. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So, in other words, they seem to appoint political appointees to these positions in security, and they have no security experience. The head of the CIA, Leon Panetta, had no experience in intelligence work. How do you feel about that?
I think they're all window dressing.
For who?
For general consumption, but across a wide array of the population.
If you were president right now, what would you do to straighten America's economy out as a waitress?
What would I do?
Would you fire any government workers? Would you cut their pensions? Would you rein in the spending? Would you stop the spending that Obama's engaged in, or would you spend more?
I don't think it can be handled or stated by one person. I think that what needs to happen is there need to be massive discussions, fireside chats, every night in this country.
Well, we're having one right now. I'm giving you a chance to talk to an awful lot of people. Would you simply raise taxes on the workers? The people who make the most money saying they're the problem, or would you cut back on some of the wages and pensions?
No, I would eliminate the tax break for the wealthy, that part of it which is not dedicated to employing people in the United States. I would have a tax incentive for businesses to stay in the United States. I would put a lot more money into funding higher education for people. But the biggest disappointment.
Wait. Why would you put more money into education? What are we getting for all of that money?
It's the kind of education we're doling out, which is largely run by textbook companies, bureaucrats, and people who believe that the state of the nation is basically okay if you can make enough money. I believe that what needs to happen.
But what kind of education would you fund?
an education where it was 100 years ago, we could teach children with a piece of chalk and a blackboard.
There's on Fox News. You've got that on Fox News. They have a piece of chalk and a blackboard. They're not doing much teaching.
Why do we need $50 textbooks funded by mobile, ExxonMobil? It's all a racket to
make money.
Is
it that you would see the money going for? We overpay our professors. They're living like kings, most of them, in the colleges. They teach 4 hours a week, and they make $100,000, $150,000 a year. Why do we need more money for higher education?
No, but a lot of that is to cover health insurance costs in the universities. A lot of the tuition and
No. They make that kind of money plus free health care. No, you don't know how the universities work and how well paid they really are. They're living very high on the hog, as most public workers are. You, as a waitress, I'm surprised you don't have any resentment towards the public sector workers. They're making more money than you are. They have better benefits than you do, and they don't work hardly anywhere near as hard as you do.
But they're not as happy as I am.
But why are you happy?
Because I've never lusted after material objects, televisions. I haven't had a television for 11 years. I never missed it.
How do you live without a television? I wouldn't know what to do without movies at night.
You'd figure out. You can still do movies. You can have a little portable television and play movies.
Well, anyway, I really appreciate your listening to the show, Linda, particularly as someone who's coming from the other side.
Savage.
Radical Islamists have not forgotten about us and their mission to destroy the West. Joining us now is Eric Stackelback with his exclusive report on this. Eric, thanks for joining us on the Savage Nation.
Michael, always a pleasure to be here. And I wanted to talk about this week the possibility of the reestablishment of an Islamic caliphate. Now, the caliphate is a worldwide, global Islamic superstate. It would mean that all Muslim countries in the world would unite under one banner, act in unison, and there would be one supreme leader who ruled over this Islamic caliphate. It would stretch from Indonesia all the way to Morocco, encompass South Asia, the Middle East, North Africa, even parts of Europe. This has been the dream of not only radical Muslims, but of average Muslims in the Middle East in many cases. The dream has been to reestablish this caliphate, this global Islamic superstate, and exercise their power on a global stage and menace the West and eventually conquer the West under the united banner of Islam. So this has been something that's been pined for years, Michael. The last time we saw the caliphate acting in unison, it was 1922. It was abolished. The Ottoman Empire, for hundreds of years, which was ruled by Turkey, that was the last time we saw the Muslim world united into this caliphate under the Ottoman Empire. Well, that was disbanded in 1922 after World War I, and ever since, Islamists worldwide, groups like Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, have made it their goal to reestablish this global Islamic superstate.
Well, obviously, they're going to use the chaos in the Middle East to meet their goals.
Now, Michael, we're seeing right now with the chaos, the upheavals, the revolutions sweeping across the Middle East, I think we are seeing what could be the genesis of a push for a new caliphate. Let's break it down. First of all, you have Egypt, where the Muslim Brotherhood and radical Islamic forces are the most likely beneficiaries of a post-Mubarak government. Then we have Libya. If Gaddafi goes, you could see Al-Qaeda types assume control in that country. The same goes for Yemen, which is also experiencing serious, serious unrest. Then we have Bahrain, tiny country in the Persian Gulf. No one knows much about it, but I'll tell you what. If Bahrain's regime was to fall, it would be taken over by the country's Shiite majority. Why is that significant? Not to get too in the weeds here, Michael, with Sunni, Shia, Sufi, and all the Islamic differences, but the fact that Shias would come to power in Bahrain, many of us think, who watch these events closely, that that would give an open door for Shia Iran, which lies right across the Gulf from Bahrain to come into that tiny country and exercise its influence. What am I saying here, Michael? And also Syria, by the way. Syria experiencing, and Jordan, both experiencing some serious internal unrest, and the most likely beneficiary in at least Jordan would absolutely be the Muslim Brotherhood, and it's an open question in Syria who would rise to power after Assad. So what we have here, if you break it down, you look at each of these revolutions going on throughout the Arab world. In every case, the most likely heir apparent to the current regime are radical Islamic forces. So if you have all these dominoes fall in these various countries, Michael, to the forces of the Muslim Brotherhood, to the forces of Al-Qaeda-linked jihadists, what will you have? And especially Egypt. Egypt is the linchpin here. It is the center, the cultural, intellectual, political heart of the Arab Muslim world is Egypt. If Egypt were to go Islamist, were to become an Islamic state, wow, talk about dominoes falling. And what you'll have, I believe, if you have a number of radical Islamic regimes coming to the forefront throughout the Middle East as a result of the current unrest, you will have a push. I think they're going to look around at each other, all of these regimes, and say, hey, caliphate, the time is ripe. Now we can do it. In all of the major players in the Middle East, in all the significant countries in the Middle East, hey, we have a radical Islamic regime that wants Sharia law enforced throughout the region and wants to reestablish a united caliphate to take on Israel and the West.
Egypt has fallen out of the news ever since American involvement in Libya, but isn't Egypt playing a far more important role than the media has been letting on? There's chaos over there in Egypt. Chaos brought on by Obama, Brzezinski.
If Egypt eventually, it's not going to happen overnight. You and I have talked about this before, Michael. I don't think it's going to be an overnight thing in Egypt. I think it will be a gradual thing with the Muslim Brotherhood and associated Islamic groups gradually taking power, and they might even do it through elections. They might do it legally, just like they did in Gaza with Hamas, which is the Brotherhood's Palestinian branch. I think if Egypt especially falls, which is the cultural center of the Muslim world, you will see a lot of the Muslim, quote-unquote, thinkers, the radical Islamic thinkers in these countries, push for the caliphate. Right now, their eyes are lighting up. They're licking their chops. They see opportunity here. They see radical Islamic forces rising to the forefront in all of these countries. They see the U.S. weakened under the Obama administration. The U.S., in many ways, in the foreign policy realm, is becoming a laughingstock due to Obama's inherent weakness. And they also see Israel do these Islamists throughout the Middle East. They see the hated Zionist entity up against the ropes right now, more isolated than ever before. And we see a push right now, which I'll get into in a bit, Michael. At the UN, we're going to see a big vote in September where the entire quote-unquote international community is basically going to gang up on Israel and force Israel to recognize a Palestinian state, whether Israel likes it or not. So the forces of Islam see all of these moves going on. They feel like the wind is at their backs. Now is the time. And they have the basis for a caliphate, believe it or not, Michael, at the UN, in the form of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, the OIC. It's a body, it's a global body based at the UN. 57 Islamic countries. They vote as a bloc. They act in unison. So officially, you don't have a caliphate right now, but hey, you have the framework for it is already present at the UN in the form of the OIC. So I think it could stun some people how easily this could happen. And I think the big question here, Michael, would be, okay, if we have this global Islamic superstate voting, acting as a bloc, politically, economically, militarily, could you imagine if the forces of Islam around the world united, whether they were Shia or Sunni, if they united into one powerful bloc, they already do in a lot of ways, but really, even militarily, if they united, militarily, economically, politically, they could wield some influence with oil as a weapon, by the way. The vast oil resources in the Middle East, they could be very effective. The only question, Michael, here is who would rule such a caliphate?
What part are all these different Islamic factions going to play?
Would it be Shia, Sunni? You'd have the Saudis stepping up to the forefront. The Saudis see themselves as the guardians of Islam, the keepers of the two holy mosques, Mecca, Medina. Then you have Iran. Iran right now sees itself as a hegemon in the Middle East. They see the revival of the Persian Empire within their grasp. Then you have Turkey. Turkey is sowing its oats right now under the Islamist Prime Minister Erdogan. They see the possibility of a new Ottoman Empire forming. So you have Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Iran, all kind of vying for influence, so to speak. So who would be the figurehead of this global Islamic state? Iran, very interesting. What Iran is doing right now, and Michael, we talked about this last time, I broke this story at CBN about the Iranian regime producing this video. Now, this was produced in conjunction with the office of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad himself. They produced a video called The Coming is Near that says that the Islamic Messiah, who they call the Mahdi or the 12th Imam, various names, the Islamic Messiah, the Iranians believe, will soon return to Earth. And they believe that because of all the chaos and revolution that's going on in the Middle East right now. They believe, based on Islamic scripture, that that is a divine signal from Allah that the end times are at hand and the Islamic Messiah is about to return and lead Iran and the forces of Islam to victory over the Jews and Christians. The Jews and Christians will be slaughtered, Islam will reign supreme, and Iran will be at the forefront of this global battle, of this final battle against the infidel. Now, this video, it's laid out in stunning detail. It gives you a window into the mindset of this insane regime in Tehran. One of their plans, Michael, is to distribute this video throughout the Middle East to Arab countries. Doesn't matter if they're Sunni or Shia, the Iranians want to blanket the region with this video. And their message is, it's time to unite. All Muslims, it is time to unite.
Eric Stackelback, thank you for your report.
And one last thing here, Michael. As the forces of Islam continue to kind of merge and unite and put aside their differences, who's going to be in the crosshairs first? America, of course. But before America, before the great Satan, America, which is their ultimate goal, their ultimate prize, the little Satan, Israel, comes first. And the little Satan is right in their midst. In the heart of the Middle East, they will unite. The time has come to unite against Israel, wipe the Zionist entity off the map once and for all. This is the recurring theme now. This is what they're talking about in the Middle East. There's a growing belief among the Middle East, in the countries of the Middle East, among the Muslim regimes there, that America under Obama does not have Israel's back. And even if they do have Israel's back, they're too weak to react. That's the growing belief in the Middle East. They're becoming emboldened, as this Iranian video we discussed shows. So as the Muslim world becomes more unified, they'll think with one single-minded purpose, and they'll look at the tiny sliver of land in their midst, Israel, the only democratic non-Muslim entity in the whole region. And their guns literally will be trained on Israel. It's going to be a united front. And it's going to be very interesting to see, Michael, in September at the UN when there will be a push, there will be a vote to establish a Palestinian state unilaterally without Israel's consent. Israel will have no say in the matter. The UN is going to vote on this. And they can say, we recognize a Palestinian state in the West Bank and Gaza and East Jerusalem. We recognize a Palestinian state. Israel, accept it or else. What is or else? Who knows? We have a no-fly zone in Libya enforced by the UN, enforced by NATO. Ivory Coast, the UN is getting involved. Already, the head of the Arab League over the weekend, Michael, called for a no-fly zone over Gaza. Which would mean, as Hamas continues to launch rockets against Israel, Israel would not be able to retaliate in Gaza. You could see the same thing in southern Lebanon, the West Bank. September, mark your calendar, everyone. Very, very pivotal for Israel. One of the most pivotal moments, I think, in Israel's history as this vote goes down at the UN. And the big question, how will Obama, how will the U.S. vote at the UN?
Eric Stackelbeck, thank you for your report.
Michael, thanks again. Always a pleasure. And look for my book, May 2nd, the release date, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. Thanks again, Michael.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Those who benefited most from our way of life can afford to give back a little bit more. We begrudge those who've done well. The wealthier have borne a little more. Everybody pays. The most fortunate among us can afford to pay a little more. I don't need another tax cut. The wealthier are paying higher taxes. A little bit more. A little more. Pay a little more. Higher taxes. More. 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 Thank you. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
The budget montage, pay a little more, says Obama. But we've talked enough about this. The West Coast is a hell of its own making. To live in San Francisco with my politics is a form of crucifixion. Anybody who's an American patriot lives in San Francisco is a self-crucifixion. It's a form of self-crucifixion. You've never seen anything like this. I can write volumes about it. In fact, I do in my... You'll see in my novel, Abuse of Power, when it comes out in September from St. Martin's Press, my thriller, how I get even with the vermin at the museum. You'll see what I dug up on them. You know, those who gussy themselves up as fundraisers and pretend that they're high class. You find out what their history was, their background, where they're from. They associate only with the finest of people, mainly grifters, who inherited their money on Pacific Heights or married into it. Yeah, you got a hooker in San Francisco married one rich guy after another. When she walks into the museum, they practically fall down on the floor for her. And the husband that she's with now, he doesn't even know where he is anymore. All in my novel. Look, Voltaire did it with the Parisians. He dealt with the foibles of the Parisians. I deal with the Parisians. So then and the allergies are out of control because of the rainy winter. The allergies, you can't believe it. What did they say the other day with allergies I read? You produce something like a pint of mucus in your head if you have severe allergies. I think it was more, a pint. And if a child has allergies, I don't want to go into details, but if they keep inhaling and it goes in their stomach, you get a bacterial infection. So, oh God, it's a nightmare. The thing you love, the flowers, the spring, poisons you. That's A. So you come east. You come east to get away from the allergies, and what do you face? It's like the Gobi Desert by the sea. I don't know how anyone lives here. The heat is so overwhelming. I go out, I feel like I'm walking into like a paint factory, like where they're painting an automobile and drying it. It's so unnatural. And you understand why alligators and lizards thrived in this environment and saw palmetto. It was made for this kind of aridity and then the humidity and then the bugs and the mosquitoes. So you have to live behind air conditioning and you get a sore throat. No matter which way you turn, is this what life is? Is that no matter which way you turn, there's something wrong and that you have to learn how to navigate through it and stop complaining about it? Is this unmanly of me to complain about life? Should I be tougher and just suck it up and do the man thing and say it's all wonderful and good, people are great, business is wonderful, and the politics are great, and Obama's a terrific guy, and we have a wonderful system put in place? No, I'm not going to do that. I don't know whether it's me or the situation. I'm going to try one more environment before I give up on the world. My nature is actually that of a snow country, like a High Sierra. I think I'm going to buy a small place up in the Sierra Nevada and never be heard from again. Now, I may put in an ISDN line, I have to admit. Although it'll be a John Burroughs-like cabin. You know, right now it's like 49 degrees and like at night 29 degrees. Here at night it's like 78 degrees. And by day, a lizard can't go out without fear of having the sin skinned off. I'm going to throw myself into it. I swam. I bicycled. I never saw anything like it. My face turned red. My body turned. It's not safe to go out till the show is over. And the show is over. I go out. I have a couple of beers when it's dark with the dog. I mean, I feel like a human being. You go out. You sit with the dog. The dog sits on the sidewalk. He looks at people. That's the good part. I like the people better on the East Coast. You know where I see the difference mainly in the East-West thing is in the women. There's a number of differences, and I'm going to try and do it in a very dignified fashion. It's very hard to do, admittedly, looking at the women around here. But I noticed the other day, for example, I was on the beach. I tried that for about 10 minutes with hats and gloves. And I see like three women in their late 30s going by, and the way they walk and laugh with each other, like the belly laughs, maybe it was those three women. In all the years I've lived in the San Francisco area, I've never seen women laugh like that. They're all so uptight and controlled and afraid to look like they're alive. Either they're medicated or something, or demented. There's a lot more like life here. People are much more real. You know, you could talk to people on the East Coast much easier than on the West Coast. I don't care where they're from or what their ethnic background is. It doesn't matter. Black, white, Haitian, Caucasian, you know, Semitic, anti-Semitic. It doesn't matter. You could talk to everybody here. If you know how to talk, people will talk here. On the West Coast, it's like a psychopathic, you can't break into a conversation. They're like afraid of you if you talk to a stranger. They think you're going to mug them, or that you're not going to mug them, or they think that you're not a pervert and they don't want to talk to you because you're not a pervert. They're afraid you might have a Bible under your coat. It's a crazy place, I'm telling you. It's a madhouse on the West Coast.
Savage.